Welcome to the EBXML and Related Technologies Awareness Series. My name is Sascha Schlegel. I'm working for Cyclone Commerce X-Way. Today is June 8th, 2006. And today's topic is EBXML happenings. My guests today are David Weber, Patrick E., and John Applegate. Let's start with John Applegate. John is Director of Solutions Architecture from Cyclone Commerce X-Way. John is currently leading the team responsible for architecting solutions around collaboration initiatives. John has 10 years engineering experience, including solutions delivery and pre-sales experiences with B2B technologies in the global market. I know one of John's baby is bringing trading partners enablement and in-life solutions to market. That's when a trading partner not only has to connect a few trading partners, but hundreds or thousands. John has graduated with a degree in computer science and math back in 1992. Hi, John.
Hello, Sasha. Thank you for the introduction.
Thank you. Was that a good introduction?
That was great.
That's great.
Thanks for noting my baby.
Okay, yes. John, if you want to add something, or if not, what's your current interest, EBXML related, of course?
Again, it's provisioning. As you called it out, that's my sweet spot, and I think we have some good technology to talk about, and I think we are going to get to that later in the questions today.
Okay. Second, Patrick E. Patrick, can you hear me?
Yes.
Patrick, thanks very much for Patrick at 6 o'clock in the morning. Patrick is a chief architect of the Center for E-Commerce Infrastructure Development of the University of Hong Kong. Patrick's team has been involved in EBXML research and development for 4 years. Their team have released Hermes, a very popular open source implementation of EBXML messaging service. Also, Patrick's team has been involved in data modeling areas and UBL, the Universal Business Language. Is this a good introduction, Patrick?
Yes, of course. Thanks, Sasha.
And Patrick, what's your current EBXML-related interests these days?
Our center is doing very much on EBXML messaging services, and we are now trying to deploy our software to as many projects as possible, and we are getting excited about that.
Okay, very good. And third guest, David Weber. David, are you here?
I am indeed.
And David is a leading contributor to the development work of EBXML since its inception. David is an authority on XML, currently chairing the OASIS Content Assembly Mechanism Technical Committee. David is also editor of the ebxmlforum.org news site. David is co-author of the new writer's book, EBXML, the New Global Standard. And David has consulted widely on implementations of EBXML. And very interesting, his current day job is a technical lead for the U.S. National Institute of Health e-receipts program, which is actively deploying system-to-system exchanges using EBXML technology. David, you've been with EBXML for a long time. Is it still one of your big interests?
Yes, most definitely, Sasha. In fact, as Patrick was saying, it's pretty much a full-time preoccupation, getting all these systems in place and development of the standards as well.
Okay. This group of three does very nicely fit into three areas. One, government industries looking for EBXML technology, then the North American Europe market with John's company, and the Asia region where Patrick is living. Let's start with government and industry. David, I know you're heavily involved with government agency consulting and project developments. Tell us a little bit more about this industry and government related to B2B, business-to-business, and EBXML projects, if you mind.
Yes, indeed. Interestingly enough, The project that I'm working on is actually using the Hermes open source infrastructure that Patrick's team has developed originally. What we've done is we've extended it both internally and externally. So internally, we used it as the basis for e-receipt server to receive applications from the government site that was set up to allow people to send in their grant applications. Mm-hmm. And subsequently, we've now developed another component, which we're calling the S2S client, the system-to-system client, that's designed, is also based on Hermes, and is designed to allow service providers to use EBXML to connect to the government's e-receipt system directly. And that we're actually in the active progress of doing a pre-production release this week. And we've packaged that to use secure SSL linkage with certificates and CPA. So very much kind of followed the full EBXML pattern, as it were, for that deployment. And we've also added in the ability for users to simply drag and drop the messages that they want to send to us into the Windows file system. And the messages that come back then come back to the file system in an incoming folder. So we've made it very, very simple for people to start using EBXML, which I think was one of the original visions when we started 5 years ago. So we're very excited about the potential for government use of EBXML based around the code base that we've developed. Mm-hmm. I guess I was just thinking as well as some other areas that are using EBXML in government. I know the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control, also have an EBXML-based system that they developed themselves a couple of years ago for doing alert notifications from hospitals across the U.S. to the Centers for Disease Control. So that's that. Now, in terms of internationally, I know the Norwegian government now has a EBXML-based system for doing health insurance between the pharmacies in Norway and the Norwegian government. So this, I think there's a lot of more examples that we can think of. But Sasha, go on, ask me a question.
Yeah, I was just about to mention this, the U.S. Center for Disease Control and Prevention, their public health information network is a profile of EBXML messaging. So it seems that the U.S. health agencies are pretty much in favor of EBXML messaging and EBXML technologies.
Yes. The actually, there's an organization called HL7, Health 7, which is the older EDI organization for healthcare. And they've adopted EBXML as one of their messaging standards. And so that has driven a lot of people in the healthcare marketplace to look at using EBXML.
Mm-hmm. Patrick, in Asia, when EBXML was becoming popular, companies and organizations from South Korea and Japan were amongst the early adopters of this new technology. Also, when I was preparing for this interview, I was thinking of almost every time I pick something up and I look underneath, I see the label Made in China, Made in China. So there must be lots of manufacturing going on, and they must have lots of supply chains and lots of messaging going there. So I guess it might be a great potential for EBXML. Please tell us a little bit about EBXML happenings in Asia.
Okay. And actually, as you have said, there are many, many happenings like in Japan, in Korea, and also, I guess in Japan and Korea, they are, as you said, they are early adopter of EBXML. And so many projects has been kickstarted, and also I guess some of them are already successfully deployed. And in China, and including in Chinese Taipei, that there are many projects which is starting to look at the EBXML standard. Actually, you can imagine in China the average IT standard in those manufacturers, in particular, is not that high. And so the first job is to enable them to have some information architecture, the internal architecture to in place first. And then the next step is to enable them to do eB2B e-commerce easily. Our concept is very much similar to what David has mentioned. We have to build some application on top of the products, on the EBXML product. In our center, we have some open source implementation. The name is Hermes, right? And I guess that those are some popular software package, but still it's still some quite technical to use. People has to know a lot about EBXML in order to know how to use the software. And our concept is to make it really simple, like just like David has mentioned, some drag and drop operation, and it's good enough for them to understand what's going on. What they all need is to exchange message. So they needn't know too much about those parameters, and we try to hide those technical parameters from them. And yes, I guess the projects here are more on document exchange, something like that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. And John Applegate, I know your work at Cycon Commerce X-Way gets you to North America and gets you many times to Europe. Tell us a little bit more about your EBXML engagements.
Yeah, okay. We started out pretty early with EBXML 1.0, or sorry, EBMS 1.0, and deploying that out into the field, we had some difficulties trying to get people to understand what it is. But we've also seen over the past couple of years that there's really a critical mass of people that understand it and projects that are ongoing. And so there's been a surge over the past year or two in the government, of course, and automotive, and over the past year and a half in the telecommunications industry in Europe, specifically T-Mobile or Deutsche Telekom. British Telecom is putting together a very, very large communications project that involves pretty much the whole industry. So we have 36 telecommunications providers that are now being required to sign up for EBXML. So there's a big market there in Europe for telecommunications. Some of the governments that we've been working with, certainly the NHS and the health spine in the UK, the Canadian federal government, there's a lot of activity there. It seems to be maybe a year or two behind in terms of their adoption rate, but I see good critical mass developing, and I think within the next year or so, you're going to see a springing up of real sites into production. But the big one for us is the Dutch government. I think it was David mentioned it earlier, and that is a really, really, really interesting project for us because it started out rather small, just signing up a couple of different departments. It was the Department of Justice and the Police Department to exchange information like, when you get a speeding ticket or when a criminal profile needed to be exchanged. And that's really blossomed out for us in an effort within the Dutch government to make all of their communications secure within another few years. I can't remember exactly when the deadline is. So that is growing, and we have a lot of projects happening. Here in North America, it's been mostly automotive. So we have General Motors, who's been working and dealing with EBXML for quite a while, and also Volkswagen of America, who has been in production with EBXML for a number of years. The main motivation here is not on the supply side, but it's more on the demand side. So it's shutting off the satellites between dealers and the manufacturer is the main driver.
Mm-hmm. A follow-up question for you, John. Is your company promoting EBXML? Are you going to the customers and you're showing EBXML capabilities? Or is it the other way around that customers, people are coming to you and they're saying, we decided to use EBXML and we want your software and services?
We don't have a marketing campaign targeted at EBXML as a technology. We're more of a solutions company. And so, you know, people come to us with a particular problem that says, I have this need. This is my project. What's the best way to address that? Sometimes EBXML is the best way to address that. Sometimes it's not. It largely depends upon the investment that people are prepared to make and what returns they hope to get from that as the solution matures. But to answer your question specifically, for EBXML, most of it is reactive.
Which means
that most people are coming to us as a market leader for EBXML and says, you know, tell us more about what you have.
Mm-hmm.
We know that Cyclone and Axway are both participants in all of the standards committees for EBXML, and we're certainly certified through the Drummond Interop, so we get a lot of coverage from there, and we get people come to us asking questions, asking for more information, and what we can do on an overall solution that does include EBXML as a technology component.
Mm-hmm. David, in the projects you have been involved in those EBXML happenings, which EBXML components were the most attractive ones for solutions?
Sasha, I think everybody has kind of led out with using the messaging system and the CPA. But most recently, Registry Now is very popular too, particularly the work that has been done in healthcare with the XDS, IHE, Secure Document Server, that's based on the EBXML registry that Sun have sponsored as an open source project. And there's now a huge build-up behind that. There's over 20 companies, including IBM, who are developing document repositories on top of that product for healthcare. So there's that, and of course, more recently, with the new BPSS version 2 that OASIS is standardizing right now, we mentioned earlier the project in Turkey that the EU has funded with Professor Asuman's team. And that they have developed a BPSS editor for doing business processes, and that's open source as well. So we're seeing that the messaging is the kind of the main adoption, the registry second, and now BPSS is starting to get some movement.
Mm-hmm.
Overall, as well, I think. It's interesting to see how some of the larger vendors, John mentioned Canada and the Canadian government. It's interesting because they insisted that Oracle implement EBXML as part of their product suite now, their iHub. And so that's available. And actually, I worked with Oracle on an implementation for Helena, and I'm right now doing an article about that whole project. And interestingly, there's one industry, whole industry sector, which is Helena does some agricultural chemicals, and the whole agricultural chemical industry is now using EBXML for all their supply chain message distribution. So that's quite significant.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Patrick, do you have a success story, an EBXML success story from your Hermes open source EBXML messaging product in Hong Kong?
Oh, okay. There are actually a couple of big projects in Asia which involve EBXML messaging services. And in particular in Hong Kong, there are some projects we have done with the Hong Kong government. Let me introduce to you one of the project in the logistic industry. Okay, as you know, in Hong Kong, the logistic industry is one of the focused industry. And so Hong Kong, there are a number of big shipping companies And according to the Hong Kong law, if a carrier with some dangerous goods will come to Hong Kong, the shipping company must notify the Marine Department of the Hong Kong government at least 24 hours before the ship arrives at Hong Kong. Mm-hmm. And so they have to give that information to the Marine Department electronically. In the past, the shipping company has to fill in a paper form and then send it to the Marine Department. But you know, the shipping companies are generally large enterprises, so that they already have their back-end systems in place. In particular, those dangerous goods information which have to send to the government is already saved in their system. Probably they may have reported the same information to the government of other countries during the trip. So as a result, they have to, in order to fill in the paper form, in the past they have to print the information out from the back-end system and then fill in the form manually. That, of course, will imply some labor costs and higher risk of error.
Mm-hmm.
So we help them to implement a project with which use EBXML messaging service to transmit the message from the shipping companies to the Marine Department automatically. And we have used a number of technologies in the projects. We have used CCTS to helping them to model the information using XML. And also, of course, we have used Hermes to as the messaging service server, at both sides, we have implemented as Hermes in the shipping companies for them to send the message. We have also deployed Hermes in the Marine Department to receive the messages. And this project actually starts with a small scale, which is a small pilot between the Marine Department and one shipping company only, but now the pilot runs so smooth and the shipping company has made it production for years. And now the Marine Department has planned to roll it out to other shipping companies as well, and I think this is quite successful in our point of view.
Must be very exciting for you to have been so close to this project.
Yeah, of course.
Mm-hmm. John, I know from your work that your company is providing pretty much a complete solution, and you're tackling even another problem, and that's called provisioning, connecting many people to a trading partner. Would you like to talk a little bit about your baby?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, yeah, I think it makes sense that there's really two types of applications here, and although both of them technically do EBXML, there's different requirements depending on which side you're on. There's the hubs and the spokes. The hubs are typically large deployments, and it needs to be a clustered, fault-tolerant solution with all of the illities and the high nines, and it has to be easy to operate. It has to have great logging and monitoring, and you have to have the reporting aspects and all of those things that an enterprise needs to expect out of a solution. And certainly, Cyclone has that. X-Way has that with our interchange product. I'm very, very proud of that, and that's on the hub side. And that's interesting for me to some degree. I think what's more interesting to me is tackling the problem of how to deploy the technology to dozens or hundreds or thousands of endpoints.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't necessarily need the high availability. It's not a clustered solution. They just need to send a file, to transmit and send and receive data with this hub. And to a large degree, they're probably not even interested that it's EVXML under the covers. So there's a different methodology here that really suggests the endpoints need an automated process that removes all of the technicalities of EBXML and communications away and largely make the thing an automated process with negotiation that happens and the registration that happens under the covers. I don't know how much detail you want to go into. I could wax on for a very, very long time on this. But the short answer is that Cyclone Axway offers a provisioning framework that deals with this problem. And in the most extreme case, and again, every community is going to have different requirements depending on whether it's a market maker driven initiative, whether it's a self-subscribing initiative, or whether it's a partner-driven effort. There's different motivations for getting the endpoint signed up, right? So there's different use cases and ultimately different implementations. But what we have is this provisioning framework that can be used to implement the methodology of choice, depending on what you want the whole thing to look like. And in the simplest case, when we have an endpoint, say for example, a pharmacy that needs to subscribe to a service offered by a vendor, and that has to happen over EVXML, we're certainly not going to expect a pharmacist or somebody at that store location to understand EVXML. Mm-hmm. And the solution we have can boil it down to a matter of 5 clicks, and the user has no idea that there's a CPA or that there's this negotiation that happened or anything. He just verifies information on 4 different screens that were collected ahead of time and prepackaged into this solution to make it very, very simple for him.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. David, I think that's a good call. It has to still made much easier for the end users, and probably just has to be transparent to the end user. It just has to work. You've been involved in other standards such as electronic business service oriented architecture and further other standards technical committees. Where do you see the picture of EBXML within this larger group of business to business standards?
Sasha, yes, that's a great question. Actually, I was just, as John was speaking, thinking along those lines, that the CPA is such a pivotal point, and the capabilities that have been engineered in there really do enable us to componentize things in a very elegant way. We've certainly taken advantage of that at NIH, where we also, as John was describing, send people CPAs to configure their systems, switch them between pre-production and production, and so on. But if we look at the bigger picture, OASIS has just approved the business-centric methodology. And one of the things that's pivotal in that is the ability to take a business view and marry that to the technology. So this whole notion of being able to create templates for things like memorandum of understanding and then the CPA, which of course stands for the Collaboration Protocol Agreement, between companies, allows, as John was saying, the business users to just click in a familiar sort of world, and then underneath the hood, the XML makes the facilitation for them, instructs machine, instructs the system as to what those choices are. So I see that very much from the architecture point of view, from the higher level. We have developed now these methodologies, which when we did the original EBXML work, we focused on the core kind of 5 technology components, and we knew that we had a bigger task ahead in terms of providing this alignment view with things like BCM, and you mentioned the EBSOA work, which right now is looking at how to do federated enterprise systems. So I think there are the pieces coming into play, and it's interesting because for the past few years we've been focused a lot on the implementation level and deploying these systems and getting this interoperability in place. Mm-hmm. And of course, open standards are such a critical piece of that. And now we're seeing that people are beginning to exploit XML in different ways to be able to do more of a business-centric approach and to couple these systems together more from a high-level representation. I mean, we still have a long way to go in terms of realizing that overall vision, but I think that we're well on track and the tools are validating themselves and that we are continuing to make progress.
And I guess especially also with a work such as the Universal Business Language, which provides the business documents in XML structure format.
Yes, indeed. I mean, I think there was several pieces that we saw when we started the original EBXML work, and one was to be able to have uniform payload content, so reducing significantly the need for cross-mapping and transformation of information as it's exchanged between systems. So UBL really has taken the lead in that, and of course, several governments have adopted UBL. The accounting industry is starting to take note now of what it has to offer. And some of the companies in Europe are actually implementing UBL interfaces. So that definitely is a significant piece. The other thing that goes along with that is the work that we've been doing in OASIS in creating rule-driven XML scripting with the content assembly mechanism work that I've been sharing and the open source implementation that we've got that, again, allows people to, once somebody has actually created a template for handling a particular message type, that they can simply reuse that by dropping those XML scripts into their system. We did do some prototyping back last year with Hermes and integrating that that CAM processor into it so that the one can call the other. So, yes, we're continuing to kind of extend the frontier here of what you can do with EBXML.
Patrick, we know that EBXML is mature technology. The various standards are in stable versions. And from your day job, what would be your wish list? What kind of pieces are missing? Where should the community concentrate on next?
In terms of technology, I think it's pretty much there. Because when people talk about B2B e-commerce, they kind of worry about security, they kind of worry about the reliability, in particularly the activities are done on internet. And I guess the EBXML current standards are doing a very good job in addressing those requirements. And so I think the next important thing to happen is to make it easier to deploy, and I think it's not going to do with how to add something in the standard. Rather than that, I think the next thing is to make the software easier to deploy, easier to use, and that's more important to in order to make EBXML success.
John, would you like to add something to Patrick's answer?
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree with everything you said, and that I think we're beyond the point of EBXML's or EBMS as a technology. I think that it's out there, it's proven, it's working, and in my opinion, the thing that we need to be working on to get the greatest adoption is making it easier to use. And there's two core aspects to that. The first is deployment. How do you ramp up trading communities that are in a hub-and-spoke topology? And when you have dozens or hundreds or even thousands of endpoints, the process has to be very, very easy because you can't expect consultants to travel to each of the remote locations. It has to be automated, and you have to be able to tailor that process depending on what that community consists of, whether it be a retailer that has to reach out to its stores, a manufacturer that has small to medium enterprises that are seasonal in nature and transitional. They kind of come and go over time. You have to have a methodology for bringing on the new vendors and suppliers as your needs change and you need a way to get the old ones off. So that's all about provisioning. That's the initial on-ramp. The next thing is the in-life. And I think that there's a number of different areas of importance here, but ultimately it boils down to how do you keep these connections open, because certificates expire, mm-hmm. business services change, and you need to focus on a methodology for updating that CPA. And so I think the EBXML working groups need to focus on this specifically to recommend, either through best practices or through a specification, a much more strongly defined process for this. And once you have that, then the vendors will naturally follow. And ultimately, we result in better adoption of EBXML.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Sasha, can I add something to that,
please.
Just briefly? John, I know we're working on the version 3 of CPA right now, and I think that we are kind of bearing down on those aspects. One of the things that I know we've been looking at in that work is how to better organize the information in the CPA itself so it can be templated and profiled, so that these components can be switched in and out, and that you can have standardized sets of components to meet the kind of community things that you were discussing. And the other piece to that I see is, and it's kind of the next step that I have with my project at NIH, is to introduce registry. So the registry itself can manage across a federated space those CPAs and those agreements and those configuration parameters for all of those partners, so that the individual messaging systems can simply connect to those definitions and you can manage them in a centralized and formal way. So I agree with you that we've still got work to do there, but once we do enable that, you're going to be able to turn up much bigger communities much faster.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, you know, in a federated community, the registries absolutely make sense, because you kind of have intelligent endpoints, right? And, you know, you have a more sophisticated user base. For the hub and spoke, I think it has to be as simple as hitting a button. The easy button, and the user doesn't know what it does, you know, and perhaps the button's on a timer so that the user doesn't even have to hit that button. But what that button does is it goes out and it will check to see if certificates are about to expire, and if so, remedy that situation. And if the service is about to expire, it goes through the process of renewing the subscription or whatever the nature of that is. I think that's the level we have to get to. I think making the CPA as an artifact easier to understand is good, but I'm talking about what happens in the community, in the hub and spoke community specifically, when you have many non-sophisticated users. There has to be a process that is interoperable between vendors for keeping the information up to date, whether it be you know, certificates or CPAs or you know, other artifacts that are necessary.
Yes, it's interesting, because when we first started with XML and EDI, we started the XML and EDI work that preceded EBXML, we talked about the fusion of five, and the fifth component was agent technology. And really, we haven't got there yet, and what you're just talking about is exactly that these agents need to be EBXML aware, if you will, and be able to go out there and perform these functions. But one, you know, when you get to that point, I think having the CPA more streamlined so it's easier to implement those software agents definitely makes sense. But the key thing, and Patrick touched on it, is that you've got to have security. You've got to have copper bottom security, because once you have these large communities, and certainly from the government perspective and the project I'm working on, you have to realize that there are significant risks out there on the internet that you constantly have to guard against, and you absolutely have to know and be able to authenticate who it is that you're communicating with what they've sent you and everything else. So I believe that, as Patrick was saying, we have that capability. It's there. It's just being able to scale it up now so that it becomes more readily available to a broader community.
Also, what I can add here is that together with PIM founder Ike, we thought of maybe have a few very simple collaborative business processes described, of course, with eBay XML business processes, which show how to update a CPA, how to maybe just update a certificate in a CPA, a bit easier than automated negotiation of CPA, which is more advanced. David, what else would you think end users want to go, which path?
Yes, I think sort of bringing out the crystal ball here, Sasha, and kind of looking a bit further forward over the next 5 years, you know, we've come a long way. We've accomplished a tremendous amount. And certainly, as John and Patrick were saying, within the traditional business-to-business environment, EBXML now is strongly established, and everybody understands that it is very, very capable.
Yep.
But I think that the challenges are really coming next, you know, sort of what's next with the Internet 2, the broader use of XML, bigger demands on and the flexibility of the infrastructure and what it can actually accomplish. And one of the things that we really haven't been able to tackle systematically in that sort of agent sense is the business process. So, you know, John mentioned earlier that GM and Volkswagen, I'm sure you're both aware that I've done an amount of work with the Automotive Association looking at business processes and creating models for those. And you have some complex supply chain pictures there where you have marketplaces that the distributors are participating in, that the manufacturers are participating in, and so on. And while the CPA provides you the underpinning of being able to control who is allowed to send what messages, you need another piece, which really, you know, talks to that whole notion of agents, software agents being able to control events, and in what the BCM work talks about, linking and switching, where when an event happens, being able to know what happens next, what needs to be linked to from particular process, does it need to be shut down, does something else need to be notified, and so on. So the BPSS work is definitely focused in the area, and I think as these mechanisms become a lot more pervasive over the next 5 years and many, many more EBXML-based systems are out there, it's going to become much more critical to be able to manage all these interaction flows in an automated way because I think John mentioned this earlier, you know, there's not enough consultants out there to be able to run after every single message that everybody is sending. You have to have automated means. So I think that the new BPSS work that OASIS is publishing right now is groundbreaking. It does include some very pivotal pieces, particularly the notion to be able to manage role and context. And this is something that we've known about for 4 or 5 years, but we haven't really formalized it until now into the standard, so that you can apply role and context across the whole operational space. And increasingly, that's going to become very important as more people do things through the Internet and with XML. You need to know, in addition to their security profile, what's their role, what's their context, and that controls the type of information that they can send, you can send them, and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm. We are coming, unfortunately, already to the end of the interview. I would like to ask each one of you to close this interview with your personal summary of EBXML and what you think we're going to see in the near-term future. Patrick, would you mind to start?
Oh, no problem. My pleasure. Actually, in our center, we have witnessed the success formula of how to deploy EBXML. Like we first of all we have open standards, and then our center has some implementation and put it open source, and then I guess open source is a good way to promote the technology and to let the people know what value can bring to them. And then after that, I guess the next step is to make it simple to use, and then with that, I think the community will be more easier to adopt to the EBXML. And I really wish to see that in the near future. Yeah, thanks.
Okay, thank you, Patrick. John?
Sure. So I think there's a couple of things I want to say in summary here. The first is I think EBXML as a technology has proven itself that it does work. It's out there. It's in production. We've gone through a bunch of projects, and we've kind of seen what works and what doesn't. And I think there are really two things that need to be addressed going forward with the understanding that, you know, it is a viable technology for B2B. In order to increase the adoption, I think the level or the investment that's needed to get an EBXML community off the ground is too great. I think efforts to simplify the CPA and put some best practices out there and work on methodologies for building out our capabilities in a more standardized way that's common between software vendors is a good thing. I think that'll address some of the current concerns and some of the inhibitors to adoption for the enterprises that want to look at EBXML. The other thing is, once the technology is in play, once a company or an enterprise has decided to go with EBXML as the technology and they are either a market maker or they have many endpoints that they must look after to some degree, I think we need to look on the usability. And I think we need to take a look at what's not necessarily missing from the specifications, but making it easier to use. Things like automated negotiation that you talked about earlier. Things like, security implications over time. You know, how do we keep the trust model rolling after certificates expire? These are real-world problems, and you know, the bigger companies have the bandwidth to, you know, look into that crystal ball and identify these problems ahead of time, and they look at EBXML and say, okay, well, you know, it's not as easy as perhaps other technologies that they could use. So I think, moving forward, again, EBXML is an absolutely valid option for B2B, and if I had to nitpick some things, I would choose to say, let's decrease the cost or investment that organizations are required to make to build out their community, and let's focus on making it easier to use over time, keeping those communication pipes open in a secure way.
Okay, thank you, John. And David?
Sasha, we started 5 years ago with so much hoopla and everything else, and everybody sort of expecting great things with all the major vendors kind of on board. And then we had the kind of the bursting of the dot-com bubble and everything kind of going with that whole turndown. But I think for me the key message is that EBXML has stood the test of time. The technology is mature. And when I look at what companies are doing in the world, what it takes for them to do business, the message is clearly that EBXML is an essential piece of your toolkit, and you should have this in there because it does perform functions that you can't get anywhere else. Now, of course, nothing is a one-size-fits-all. There's other complementary technologies that you're going to want to have, but you most certainly should be looking very seriously at EBXML. I know we've heard a lot about making things easier. You know, the lesson that I've learned over the last 18 months in the NIH project is I don't care what technology you're using. If you're doing this over the Internet, if you're having industrial strength security, if you're having these complex processes that you're turning up with your partners, there is no real easy magic bullet, whether it be EBXML or something else. So you have to expect that because of all those factors, this thing is non-trivial. But what's exciting for me now is that I feel that we've reached the momentum point that Linux had to strive for and get to, where the technology has entered the mainstream. It is recognized. It is attainable. You know, people that are the average Java programmer are very, very capable of doing EBXML for you. And what I find is exciting is that, you know, we've been tracking for the last 5 years the adoption, the new projects, where EBXML is going. And of course, as my role as doing editor of the EBXML forum, that's been kind of one of my priorities. But now it's got to the point where there's so much going on with EBXML that I can't keep track of it anymore. There's always somebody coming to me and saying, oh, did you know about this? And that's very exciting because I think that shows that we have now got that level of momentum that's going to carry us forward through the next 5 years. That we have the right message, you know, that the people that are working in industries that need to have a standardized interface, such I mentioned earlier, the agricultural chemical industry, and industries like healthcare, where they don't need to want to worry about how we're going to do the communication layer in an open standard, open business way, EBXML is the right answer. Okay, what's the other problems we have to solve? And to me, that's the difference. All the hard work and graphs that we've put in over the last 5 years have got us to that point now.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, David, Patrick, and John. Thank you very much for your time. And I hope it was also a pleasure for you to be part of this interview.
You're very welcome, Sasha.
Yes.
Very, very welcome, Sasha. And thank you very much for your hard work in organizing all this.
No problem. Thank you.